We continue our study of the Sefer Olam HaMidos. Today is Gimel Nisan, Chodesh of Geula. It's March 19th. We appreciate everybody coming from far and wide, from family Simchas Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov to the Schwartzes, and tuning in from various locales. And everybody's busy with Pesach, and but we take a little time out to learn.
And it looks that way.
So we continue to say for Olam HaMidos. We're on page Nun Aleph, wrapping up the section of the Olam Shel Emes. Let's look at the bottom paragraph on page Nun Aleph. One of the beautiful things about Rabbi Kestenbaum's Sefer is he combines the classic ideas from Chazal with a very real-life application. Granted, some of them are more aimed, I think, at Yeshiva Bachrim and the way the scenarios play out in their lives, but not exclusively so, and those are very easily adaptable to any station of life. He also has matters of Shalom Bayis and so on, so it's a nice combination of the underlying concepts and the practical. So look what he says, bottom of page 9, and you should know that all relationship between man and his fellow, toloi be'emuna, is dependent on integrity, faith, trust, particularly the relationship between husband and wife. He was just talking about the yitzhara of a husband to tell something untrue because he thinks it's mutl shanos b'nei hashalom. I did something not so good, and therefore, for the sake of peace, for the sake of everybody being happy, I won't own up to it. That is a what we call a hiro'as heter, where you justify something, but it's not necessarily legitimate. There may be cases where it is, but often not. And continuing on that theme, he says the following. V'mishto makira shehu mashaker afilu pamachas. If his wife realizes that he lies even once, nizdaza kol yisod habayis, the whole foundation of the house is shaken. Shekeman shebala yachal l'shakala, since her husband could lie to her, like Koldibur of Beshekri Yisodim. Maybe everything he says maybe is based on foundations that aren't true. His wife may have the sense that even the feelings he shows to her, all the praises he says to her, maybe they're not true. Right? They're people who only say what works to their advantage and don't mean anything sincerely. So if I think somebody's a sincere person, I take his words seriously. If I find him not to be, then I never know what to take seriously. And that could be a terrible thing in a relationship. V'zeu mash amr chazal is what Chazal said, kach oncho shel badoi, shafilo amr emes ein shomen lo. Such is the punishment of the liar that even when he tells the truth, we don't trust him. Long before there was a little boy who cried wolf, there was the Satan speaking to Avraham Avinu, which I believe is the context of this quote. He tries to give away the fact that it's not going to be, that Yitzchak is not going to be shechted, and Avraham Avinu doesn't believe him. And Chazal said that such as the punishment of a person who is a badoi, to be bode, beis vav dalet hei, means to make something up, to falsify. So such is the punishment of a badoi. Low flying planes in Florida.
We're inside. Why should we need to be jealous?
So the only thing is, can I ask a question?
Yeah,
that you are allowed to lie for shalom, right? True?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But if he catches, you know what I mean?
That's, he's saying to be very careful.
He's saying, I'm not talking, right, so I mean, it's not really talking about like lying for shalom, but like talking about like a caught in a lie many times.
Well, right? What he's saying like is that sometimes if a person takes too liberal an approach to that, shalom doesn't really mean just shalom. It means for people to be happy. And he gets to a section where he's going to talk about, I mean, we spoke about it a little bit before, somebody bought something and they like it. I don't like it, but you say it's nice. Somebody married somebody. I don't want to like them, but that person does like that person. Loves
that's because, like, if you can't, like, I remember that halacha. If you can't do anything about it after the fact, like,
right,
if they bought it, you can't return it. Say that you like it, even though you hate it. But
right. So he's saying here to be careful, because let's use his example. A husband is not such a great guy and does a lot of things that aren't good. It's going to make his wife unhappy. So he might have the temptation. So I'll lie about all of my.
But then what happens when she finds him in the lie?
Yes, yeah, that's what he's saying. That's
right.
What he's saying. In other words, that doesn't necessarily fall properly into mutl shanos b'nei hashalom, because even just tactically, it's going to do more harm than good. As we've said already, sheker is at best a necessary evil, but it is an evil. and it has spiritual consequences, and it has practical consequences. So he's just warning us that even where you might want to say Mot Toshanas Meha Shalom, if it's going to shake the foundation, not a good idea. So he's saying even that allowance, even that heter, should be analyzed and used very, very sparingly, because it doesn't always yield what the person thinks it will yield. This is almost more of a strategic point than a halachic one. V'lochein ha-heter l'shanas b'fnei ha-shalom hu inyan ad-din ma'od. This is what I was just saying. Therefore, the allowance to change, to tell an untruth, because of shalom, is a matter that is very sensitive, very delicate. The word adina, that's what I mean. Adin ma'od is very delicate. Shamavad ha-chomer shel dibur sheker. Aside from the severity of false speech, Haregam Yisod Shalom Besom Matzel B'Sakana. He can also cast the foundation of his Shalom bias into Sakana. And again, it doesn't only have to be in a marriage. I think in a marriage particularly it's so, but it could be in many relationships. Umasha Habal Morala Atzma L'Shakir Mishum Shu Osum Nedarke Shalom. The fact that the husband is Morahetar to himself to say something untrue because of Darke Shalom. Adarav is the contrary. Kama Pomim Hayimachazak Shalom Besal Yideh Hodos HaEmes. Sometimes he actually would strengthen the relationship by admitting to the truth. Okay, so that's something people really have to think about. Shebezahi mischazik yisod nisuehen. I mean, that's a big teaching of Chazal, that a lot of times being moda, ala emes, admitting to weakness, is the strongest thing a person does, and the best. It has the exact opposite effect. I mean, he quoted that story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanta from the Altar of Mivarak. I happened to have brought his sefer today. Right? He's going to look unimpressive. He's not going to be able to impress people with the shir. But that story became a legend, a story that we're telling probably 150 years later, more. And if he had just answered the Rambam or whatever it was that the person asked, it wouldn't be. So sometimes exactly what looks like is going to make a person weaker and smaller actually makes them bigger. Shebezahi mischazak yisod nisuehen, that would strengthen the foundation of their marriage. In the case of doubt, one should ask a question of the wise, of a chacham, because sometimes it can really be a hard call. There are instances in halacha and hashkafa where you have two competing issues. There's a famous account that Rabbi Yisrael Salanta couldn't give his haskama to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim because he disagreed with one psak. The Chafetz Chaim seems to say that if a person spoke Lashon Hara about someone else, and that person doesn't know. And if the person will find out, they'll be very upset. By the way, I told everybody that you did such and such. So right now you don't know that. Ignorance is bliss. And when I tell you, and you'll realize it's true, I did tell them, it's going to be hurtful. So now I want to do tshuva. So the Chafetz Chaim seems to say that you have to tell the person, I'm very sorry, I told the whole world such and such about you, and I feel very bad about it, I hope you forgive me. And Yisrael Salanter held, my desire and my need for kapara doesn't allow me to harm somebody now. So it's, I'm just giving that as an example where you have competing values. So wanting to maintain peace and happiness is one, wanting to maintain integrity and honesty in a relationship is another, and sometimes they have to be weighed carefully and decide which one is machria, which one takes the priority. And the final section on page 1 Beis, which he entitles Kushta Koi Shikra Lo Koi, truth stands. Kushta is Aramaic for truth. Truth stands, falsehood, shikra, which means shikra, does not. Ulasiyam, and in conclusion, Navias Divrei Gemara B'Shabbos. We'll quote the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Dalet. My time of shikra achada karikoi, the emes malben levune. And why is it? Gemara is discussing the letters of the Aleph Beis. We know that the letters of the Aleph Beis are the shape they have is significant. In any other language, these are just symbols that people decided will refer to different things. But in the Lashon HaKodesh, the way the letters are shaped has profound significance, way beyond anything we could probably ever know. The Gemara gives us some insight into it. There are Kabbalah teachings and other things. But the Gemara says, why is it that Sheker, the way a shin is made in proper Gzav, it comes to a point, and a Kuf also doesn't have a wide base, and a Resh certainly has no wide base. So each letter of Sheker stands on a very weak footing. And emes, so the aleph has two legs, mem has a flat leg, and tav has two legs. So the letters of emes, it's as if it's built up like bricks. Well, why is it that emes is built up like bricks? And says the Gemara, kush dekoi, shikra lo koi, because truth stands. Sheker doesn't stand. Shin kuf resh doesn't stand. Aleph mem saf does stand. Gemara also says that emes is aleph is the beginning of alphabet. Mem is in the middle, tough is at the end. Sheker, three consecutive letters, kuf, resh, and shin. Because to find emes, you gotta look around. Sheker, you turn on the news. But anyway, v'hainu shemisha ma'isav amitim b'yasharim, a person whose actions are true and straight, yizke livnos binyan olam, will build things that are lasting. Binyan shel teferes v'kavod, structures of glory and honor. Avo misha ma'asav maleim sheker, person whose actions are full of falsehood, it's not based on truth, integrity. Lo yiskayim habinyan shelo, his structure will not last. Right, all kinds of things superficially, they look strong, they look great, but it's not really based on anything, and has no lasting value. And then the quiet thing that's done bitsnius, but it's done with integrity in the pursuit of what's right and true, and that lasts. Umisha choshev shemasav haroyim nistarim me'enei kol, the person who thinks that his bad actions are hidden from everybody. Nobody knows about it, what's the difference? Harei amru chazal kol machal shem shemayim b'seiser nifra'an mimenu bagoli, frightening statement, Pirkei Avos. One who causes chil Hashem in private, his punishment is exacted from him in public. V'lo aleinu and Rachman Tzlan, kama chil Hashem ra'inu al-yidei anashim shelo diktaku b'midas emes. How much chil Hashem we've seen has been caused by people who are not careful with truth. V'chein niru l'tzad ha-tov. It also appears that on the good side, Sharei Gedola Mida Tova Mimidas Peronos. We have a rule with however something is on the bad side, it's greater, stronger, bigger on the positive side. So if a Chil Hashem, a small Chil Hashem, a small private Chil Hashem is terrible, so Shem Adam Makadish Shem Shemayim Beseser, then if a person causes a Kiddush Hashem in private, Mishalman Lo Bagoli, they pay him back publicly. Ra'isi muva ma'isa b'ish tzaddik. I saw a story quoted about a man who's a tzaddik. I don't know where this story is from. I emailed Rabbi Kestenbaum, see if I could find the source. You'll see why. It's relevant to a very famous public figure, but I don't want to give away the punchline. I saw a story quoted about a man who's a tzaddik, Shmuel Rabbi Yisrael Isser. Named Rabbi Yisrael Isser. V'hayadar b'ir Krakow. He lived in Krakow. V'hayamocher mina ariga. He was a merchant. He sold like fabrics. Hayelo kabbalo shelo lasos malocha achachatzos erev Shabbos. He had a tradition. He had maybe it was a family minhag not to do malocha after midday on erev Shabbos. Kedeshi mechin karoy the Shabbos kodesh, that he would prepare properly for Shabbos. Famous quote from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. In America, we might manage to save Shabbos, but we haven't saved the erev Shabbos. With all of our conveniences, we're so busy. Life was in many ways much harder when Yidden lived in Shtetlach, but on the other hand, it was also simpler in some ways. And they stopped, and that was it. Nowadays, it's very hard in most professions. In the winter, it's hard enough to even get home for Shabbos. We had that snowstorm a couple of weeks ago. It was terrible. I had many, many people have concerns about being stuck on the road and on buses and so on. But every Shabbos is challenging. But this, so here is a beautiful thing. He had a tradition not past Chatzos on Erev Shabbos. Ham achas be'erev Shabbos bo etz l'socher gadol. One time on Friday, a big merchant came to him. He wrote to Liknos kamus gadol shel schora. He wanted to buy a big amount of merchandise. B'shivu schum kesef gadol, worth a tremendous amount of money. Yitochis askus im socher zeh, and from the midst of his involvement with this merchant, Hikir Rabbi Yisrael Isser, Shigiyaz Man Chatzos. Got very busy, they're looking at different textiles, all of a sudden he realizes it's already time, it's Chatzos. So Amar Rabbi Yisrael Isser La Socher, She'enu Yochel Limkar La Achshav, he said, I can't sell, I'm sorry, I have to close shop. I can't sell to you now. Kitzarach Luskar Sachanus, I have to close the store. La Socher Nismalei Kas, Socher became filled with anger, V'zarak is Kol HaSchora Artza. He threw everything on the ground, v'halachlo, and he left. In the middle of the deal, it's not even Shabbos yet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'schus ma'isa zu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this action, Berach Yisrael b'Yisrael Yisrael and Ben, he blessed him with a son, Shekaru lo Moshe, and named him Moshe. Which Moshe? Hu ben zen iskado lios migdole olam b'Torah, he became one of the gedolei olam b'Torah, hayadu etzlein, one of the greatest notas, b'shem Rav Moshe Isserles. That's the Ramah. And his last name, Isser, is really... it's from his father's name. It's Rav Moshe ben Isser. Like the Marsha, his mother-in-law supported him. She was a wealthy woman. So his last name is Edels. Shmuel, he was known as Shmuel Edels. Edel was his mother-in-law. So sometimes people took on a name of... So that's Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ramah. So I'm curious for the source of the story. It sounds vaguely familiar. But the Ramah that the entire Ashkenazi Jewry rests upon, I'll tell you a fascinating, frightening story, just to highlight the greatness of the Ramah. I became aware of this story because of I read it in the Tshuva of Tzitz Eliezer, but then I looked it up. There is a sefer. I think I remember the name, but there's a sefer. Somebody wanted to take basically the Shulchan Aruch and put his own commentary on it. It's a nice thing to do. Obviously, it must be a Talmud Chacham. But when he published it, he abridged the Ramahs. He felt in some place, the way the Ramah works, we have the Shulchan Aruch written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. The Ramah, in his humility, he was really going to be doing the same thing. But then he saw Rabbi Yosef Karo came out with the Shulchan Aruch, so he said, I'm not going to do the same thing. I'll just add wherever Ashkenazi Minhag or Halacha differs, I'll just append it to his, which is a very humble thing to do. And therefore, he just called it the Sefer Hamapa. What we call the Ramah is really called the tablecloth. I'm just putting a cloth on the table. That's what the Ramah's glosses to comments in Shulchan Aruch are called. So this man published a work. It exists. You can see it on HebrewBooks.org. He published a Shulchan Aruch, but he abridged the Ramah's that he felt, and that's so important. When he published the work, he went blind in one eye. And I don't know if somebody advised him this or on his own he came to it. So he republished it. He put back the Ramah the way it was.
And he got his sight back.
I'm not making this up. It's a real story. This is called Zayas something. I don't know. I'm sure he was a great man, but he made a judgment. And I forget what the context was, but the Tzitz Eliezer in one of his tshuvas didn't like somebody didn't have kavod for the greatness of the Ramah, and he told this story to highlight it. So the Ramah was really, really one of the great luminaries, and we have this story as being a small Kiddush Hashem in private. He's showing somebody privately, it wasn't a grand scene, but that he has a hiddur and kavod of Shabbos, and he won't violate it. Adam hamadaktek lasos is a emes vayasher. So even though that story is not about truth per se, but it is truth. It's true to your values. That's why it's a story that falls in this section. A person who is exacting to do what's right and true, shelo l'shem pirsum, not for publicity, elo l'man Hashem, but for l'man Hashem, zeu misha mekadeshim shemayim kol yom v'seisa. That person is creating a kiddush Hashem his whole life in private. It's not in the nightly news. It's not in the newspaper, but it's a Kiddush Hashem. That's what Chazal are talking about. I want an example of a person who, he was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seser, and he got his reward publicly. His son is a Kol Beis Yisrael Nishan Olah. The whole Klal Yisrael relies on his son. There's an expression used in Sfarim, Anachnu Yotzim B'Yad Ramah. We go, Yad Ramah means an elevated hand, but the Ramah Reish Mem Aleph for Moshe Isserles. We go, sometimes where there's a question halacha, and the pesuk will say, "Well, the svardim do like this," but for those of our descent, our tradition, we go biyad ramah, we do like that. Vein safik shal yado yavo pirsum gadol shakvot shemayim ba'olam hazeh fi yizkel mekomo hamiyuchad ba'olam habo'olam. This is no doubt that such a person will, by way of him, will come great pirsum in this world. Ultimately, word gets out, and he'll be zocha to his place, in his special place in the world to come, which is the world of truth, the Olam HaEmes. He ends the section with the words Olam HaEmes. Let us move on to Paragimel, Olam HaKavod, the world of honor, of Kavod, which is going to mean real honor and false honor, which is what we have to address and figure out. So, HaKavod motzias ha'odam min ha'olam. Kavod drives a person from this world. Amru Chazal. Chachamim say in the fourth paragraph of Pirkei Avos, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzias ha'odam min ha'olam. Jealousy, desire, and the pursuit of honor drive a person from this world. Pirush HaTeferes Yisrael, the Teferes Yisrael is a classic commentary on the bottom of a regular Mishnayos, Shaha Olam Hainu Shnei Olam. As we say, it drives a person from this world, lest you think that that means he's going to lose his Olam Haba. He had it great in this world. He wanted to be famous, and he made it. He was famous, and it was great. He had a great life because of his fame, but he forfeited his Olam Haba because of it. Lest you think that, it's not true. Says the Teferes Yisrael, it's Olam Hazeh Ve'Olam Haba. It ruins this life and the next. May Olam Haba move on. From Olam Haba, it's self-understood. Sheredifas HaKavod Goremes L'Hachshelas Adam B'Kama Averas. It causes a person to do many Averas. That I understand. Why he loses, it causes problems for him in the next world. Hein Averas Sheben Adam L'Makom, Hein Averas Sheben Adam L'Chavero. Because he's really running after honor, and that's his primary goal, he does things that are bad for him. Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chavero. Bein Adam L'Makom, Ketzad, how so with matters that relate to God. Shem Ayidei Asiyas HaMitzvah Omaniyah Me'aver Yafsid Efsharas L'Hasid Kavod. If by doing the mitzvah or refraining from the aver he loses an opportunity to get kavod, O Yepigiyah B'Chod, or harm his honor, Olo L'Haktim Kvod L'Kvod HaMakom. He is susceptible, he's likely to prioritize his kavod over that of Hashem. I know it's not right, but I stand to be honored. I know I should do X, but I'm trying to pursue my own honor. In bemezit, oba roz heter. Whether he'll just do it bemezit, he will deliberately sin, or with a justification. To be mora heter is an expression. It means where you justify things to yourself. Va'od, furthermore, etzem radifas hakavod pegia b'chod hamakom hei. This is a deep idea. The very idea of pursuing kavod is an affront, or like the last four lines of that first paragraph, is an affront, a pigia, which means like a harming of the honor of Hashem. Why? Sharei kulanu nivronu l'chvodo. We were all created for Hashem's honor. V'tachli seinu hu l'habi kavod l'Hashem v'lo l'atzmeinu. Our purpose is to bring glory, to bring honor to Hashem and not to ourselves. U'kamo shenemar, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, everything that has been called in my name and for my honor, I've created it and you formed it and even made it. That's the pasuk that at the end of Pirkei Avos, the last paragraph of Pirkei Avos, I believe, is quoted. Everything is created for the honor of Hashem. So if our very existence is to bring honor to Hashem, so if a person is redirecting, he wants kavod for himself, even if he doesn't do anything wrong in the pursuit of that, it is an affront to the honor of Hashem. To be pursuing my own honor is something independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'min haroi l'hatak divrei haramban mashakosa b'igera shalom. I grabbed the Mesilas Yesharim. I took the Mesilas Yesharim. I'm coming to this year because usually in the back page of Mesilas Yesharim you have the Igeres Haramban. One page, but a great...
You're supposed to be the one.
That's what he wrote to his sons. Yeah. He asked his son to read it once a week, and there are people who do that. It's a...
you're so good.
Because
their
Ramban is so saturated with Torah that in a short letter, it's like a whole Musaf Sefer woven in. One of the things he writes there in the middle is the following. Ubame, you probably recognize these words. Ubame yisgoya lev ha'adam. And what should man's heart be haughty? What should he be so proud of? Imba osher, if it's because of his wealth, Hashem marish u'mashu. Hashem makes poor or wealthy. That's from the Shira of Chana. Right, because she saw the vicissitudes of herself versus Penina. Hashem brings somebody up, brings somebody down. So wealth, Hashem marish u'mashu. Imba kavod, if it's about honor, halo l'lokim hu, honor belongs to Hashem. Shenemer v'osher v'kavod melfanecha. Pasuk we say in Pesukah Dezimra every day from Divrei Yamim, wealth and honor come from before you. V'eich mispar bechvod kono. How can he self-aggrandize? Mispar means to take glory for oneself. Bechvod kono. And glory that's really his master's. Imagine like I didn't create something. I didn't write that book. I didn't make that sculpture. And then I'll stand there and have everybody give me a standing ovation for my great work, but I didn't do it. So kavod is not ours. Kavod is Hashem. So whatever kavod we have is meant to be attributed to Hashem. So if I'm seeking my own kavod, I'm seeking something that's not mine. Ukvar hiziru chazal, shelo lusbar b'chvod ha'Torah. Chazal warned us, actually, at great length, not to take glory in the kavod of the Torah. And Gedolei Yisrael went to great lengths based on this theme. Al taseh matar lizgadol v'hem. Don't make them a crown in which to make yourself great. Call them mishtamish b'kisro shel Torah. Nekar min ha'olam. Anybody uses the crown of the Torah is uprooted from the world. So, very strong theme of kavod belongs to Hashem, not to us. So, at a practical level, a person who runs after kavod is likely to do the wrong thing, because that's all he wants. And even if he doesn't, the very idea per se is wrong. That's all in the realm of Ben Adam L'Makom. Ben Adam L'Chavero, Kate said. How so in matters Ben Adam L'Chavero? Zehu Pashut Lein Ekol. That's obvious to everybody. Misha doig tamid al kvod atzmo lo yochus al kvod acher. A person who's always worried about his own honor is not attuned to the honor of others. Shetaruhu berdifas kvodo. He's too busy with the pursuit of his own honor. Ve'od, and furthermore, olol hu lahashpil acherim b'fneim o shelo b'fneim a'idei lashon hara v'chadama. Also, he's likely to lower others in front of them, not in front of them, by way of lashon hara. Maral has a shita that's never considered lashon hara if it's in front of the person. It's a hard thing to understand, but he considers it a different avera. It's in front of the person, even though in one of the paradigm situations, which is when Aaron and Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't his presence. But anyway,
in front of or to?
In front of. The Maral has a shita that lashon hara is by definition surreptitious. But it's not the simple reading of a lot of sources in Chazal. But anyway, that's a semantic matter. Is it Lashon Hara? Is it something else? Or is it a definition matter? But certainly a bad thing. A person who runs after kavod feels the need to put other people down. B'chdei l'harim es atzmo, in order to elevate himself. V'od shem chaveiro eino machabdo b'kavod haro ilo. And if his friend is not machabed him with the kavod that's fitting, in his own mind, he's a very honorable person. God forbid he insults his honor. He'll despise him, but it's a sinas chinam because it's not justified, because he shouldn't be so concerned about his honor in the first place. And he's going to come to other averos like revenge, speaking lashon hara about him, engaging in machlokas, fighting. We needn't write at length about this. It's well known to us. We all know that the more a person is a pursuer of honor, so are his manners and his character corrupted. It's a terrible thing. But it drives him not only from Olam Haba. You know, as you might think, he gets something good in this life, but he has to pay for it, because in the world to come he's going to be punished, or it's going to be no good for him. But even in this world, as the Tiferes Yisrael says, Shalom olam lo yuspa v'kavod shiyasek. First of all, because he'll never be sated. He'll never be satisfied with the honor that he gets. Famous pasuk in Kohelet, Oev kesef lo yuspa kesef. A person who loves money will never be satisfied with money. Yesh lo mana rotza masayim. If he has 100, he wants 200. And the Mefarshim point out, when he has 200, he wants 400. So whatever he has, he's always getting further from being satisfied. Kumo shara taivas, kain taivas, just like every other desire, so is kavod. La'olam lo yihei ha'adam ha'rodif, kavod sameach b'chalko. A person who's running after kavod will never be happy with his lot. You look at, you know, we just got through Purim 2 weeks ago. Haman has the whole kingdom bowing down to him. I mean, like, but kol zeh einenu shovel, it's all not worth anything to me. Like, you look at it, it's almost laughable. To us, it seems so silly. You have to draw Haman as this caricature.
Rabbi Steinberg.
Yeah.
When Mordechai was given that covet and he was rode on a horse, and why did he accept it?
First of all, the king said so. I don't think he had a choice. And also, I think it helped in the turning point. It was all Mordechai knew everything was Yad Hashem, and that was really the turning point for Haman. Mordechai is not so concerned for his honor. He's concerned for the protection of Klal Yisrael. And that moment was really like the turnaround where Haman starts to go downhill. And in Haman's own corrupted mind, in fact, the loss of kavod is like, that's it, it's the end. So it wasn't for his personal kavod. But if what you're alluding to is that sometimes the great tzaddikim avoid kavod, yeah, Yisrael Salanta used to say, when people give me kavod, it's like they're sticking me with needles.
Exactly.
Couldn't take it. Yeah, but Mordechai, I think, knew that that was the Yad Hashem that he was supposed to accept, and I'm not sure he had a choice. But it's an unsatiable desire. And after all of his toil and his thoughts and his actions, what he seeks will not be fulfilled, and he'll find himself sad and lacking. Furthermore, a person whose goal is to achieve kavod, how much pain he feels when he hasn't achieved what he wants. He's also very pained from other people. Another person who's not looking for kavod has interactions with people, and they're natural and they're normal. But a person who's so needy in kavod, so every interaction is based on, did that treat me? That person treat me with enough honor? What did he mean by that? What does she mean by that? Does he not think I'm the greatest? They're in a constant state of pain and frustration for naught. If he just would eliminate that need, he could live a normal life. But now every interaction is measured on the scale of was I nischabed properly. Next, kol abaref min hakavod hakavod rodef acharav. That's the way people commonly say over the teaching, even though to find it in that form is a little harder. In Pirkei Avos it's phrased differently, or actually Irvin. V'adam hadaresh kavod, a person who seeks kavod, lo yaviach klum al yidei sheyirdof acharav. He doesn't gain anything by running after it. V'chol ha'amelo shelo lahasik kavod l'shav l'rik, and all of his toil to get it are for vanity and emptiness. Shekariv dechanu Chazal already said, "Kol machazer achar hagadula, gadula barachas mimenu." Anybody who goes after greatness, greatness runs away from him. V'chol habarech min hagadula, gadula machazeres acharav. And anybody who runs away from it, so it runs after him. Umargala b'puma de'inshin is a common saying in people's mouth. People say, "Kol abarech min akavod akodef rodef acharav, v'chol rodef achar kavod akavod barech mimenu." That's the way people say it over. You know, the Gemara it's gedula, but the way people say it, there's certain statements of Chazal. That's the way people say it over. You might find it in an esoteric medrash or something, but it's not the common way. It's the common way people say it, but it's not the way it is in the Gemara. But the idea is the same. And zehu hanhogas habori ba'olamo. This is the way Hashem runs the world. Umuvan shakadosh baruch hu rotze bechvod ha'ovdim l'man shemo. V'lo l'man shemo. It's self-understood. Hashem wants the glory of those who serve for His name's sake, not for their own sake. V'lochein kishonu mis'avim lirdof achra ha'kavod. Therefore, when we desire to run after kavod, umitztarim, and we're pained, kasher mevatrim ala zdamus l'hasek kavod, we're pained when we pass up an opportunity, we're mevatar an opportunity to achieve kavod, Nucha lechazek atzmeinu, we can strengthen ourselves b'hakara, with the recognition she'adarava ein zo aveda, there's no loss. El harvacha bein ba'olam hazeh bein ba'olam haba. If the way you view it is that kavod is a false thing and the pursuit of it is a negative endeavor, then giving up an opportunity for kavod is not a loss; it's a gain. Ba'olam haba sher bevade ba'des gabrus al yitzreinu asachar harvi. In olam haba, how so? Because certainly the fact that he overcame his yitzhara will yield a lot of reward. Uba olam hazeh, in this world, shel libeso vaday nizke lekavod harbe gadol mizeh, will certainly merit greater kavod, kavod amiti, true kavod, sheyavo beli hishtadlusenu, which comes without our hishtadlus. This is really the point of it, and Rabbeinu Yonah and Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah of Ezeu Machubar Hamachabed Esabria. So even took a picture of it. I think Rabbeinu Yonah says, "What's the point of pursuing kavod? If a person is honorable, he's already honorable. And the pursuit of it doesn't add anything. And if he's not, you know, if you get, I'd like everybody to give me a standing ovation. It didn't change me. It didn't make me greater. Yeah. I'm reading from Rabbeinu Yonah. What's the benefit to man if they do cover him? Im nichbadu, if he's truly honorable, lo hosif b'malasu b'chvodim nehakavod sh'asu lo. He is truly honorable. Does it make a difference if people clapped for him? Doesn't change anything. V'im niklahu, and if he's not honorable, lo yachzi reu nichbadu also kavod sh'nosin lo. He's not going to turn him into poof. Now that we clapped, he's honorable is a true state of being. So, right? He's making a statement of the irony of this situation. Sometimes you have a situation where people are giving kavod to somebody and they don't really mean it. It's not really deserved. So for them, it's just a shame. It's a shame. And it's not kavod for him. The whole thing is false. It doesn't make him greater.
Rabbi Steinberg, if yes. Hashem took away a taiva for Avodah Zorah, why doesn't he take away a taiva for kavod?
Because we have an Hashem. Yeah, I think the bigger question is why he did take away the desire for Yetzirah, for Avodah Zorah. Most Yetzirah still do exist. I think your question is predicated on the profound feeling that this is a real troublesome midah.
Yes.
Which I concede it is, but obviously this struggle is one that Hashem feels we can still endure. Avodah Zarah was so overwhelming. There's a story in the Gemara, I forget which of the Chachamim made fun of Menashe, the king, that he was over to Avodah Zarah, and then he came to him, he appeared to him, and he said, if you would have been there, you would have been... You would have been running after it. You would have picked up the edge of your garment to be able to run faster after Avodah Zarah, which means we have a hard time imagining that the power that Avodah Zarah had, which is part of what I spoke about Shabbos HaGadol, that the Jewish people were steeped in, even though they believed in Hashem and Hashem is saving them, there was still this Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, which was very hard for them to escape from. So I think Avodah Zarah is unique. But the other Yetziharas that we have, challenging as they are, but that's exactly our job, is to rise to the challenge. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, the way to address kavod is to realize that it's false. It's a false midah. I want people to clap for me. It doesn't do anything. So it's not a loss. And the last two lines on Nun Dalad, I read that already. He'll come to the true kavod without his shtadlus. The honor of Chachamim will be inherited. By the way, I didn't read the end of what Rabbeinu Yonah says there. He quotes the pasuk in Mishlei also. Kitzror evan b'margema kein nosein l'ksil kavod. Like you wrap up a rock in velvet. You have a box, it says Tiffany's. Paper and this thing, but it's just a rock. I picked it up on the ground. So it doesn't, ultimately, if it's not a jewel there, it's just a rock. So you give kavod to it, but it's futile because it doesn't change the thing. The kavod only has, the thing is a jewel, so you put it in something fancy, makes it, embellishes a little bit. But so says Shlomo Melech in his wisdom, Kitzro Evan Bar Margema, Kein Nosen Laksil Kavod. Now, Rabbi Kestenbaum continues here. And a lot of what he's saying is really taken from, I believe, the Alter of Nevardok. And here he cites him specifically. It says, "Kod chachamim yincholu," they inherit their kavod. It means "kemo nachala habola la'adam b'lishum hishtadlus klal," like an inheritance. You know, you work for a living, but inheritance or a nachala has. It doesn't have to be inheritance because somebody dies, but something that just falls to you. It's like they had a nachla on the aretz. It's something that falls to you, not through earnings, just that is your lot. That's what you get. So, says the Alter of Nevardok, that's the idea of kavod. Kavod is something that's per se. You get kavod because you are kavod. It's not something, you can't work for your own kavod.
How does one strive towards being not in a bad sense, in a good sense, to get to a level where they would be honored. It's coming off wrong, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Inner honorable instead of
yeah.
So that's by doing the right thing.
That's why, like, build themselves up to be on a higher madriga, that, like, you're doing the right thing. And you can look at yourself in the mirror and you can say, you're on the right track, you're doing
I think that's just in every situation, doing the right thing and not being concerned about the way people, the public, views things. Ezehu mechubud ha-machavid ha-sabriyas. A person who's good to other people is honorable. He gives kavod to other people. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is commenting on there. If I give kavod to other people, so I'm a nice person, so I'm doing good things, that's honorable. If I'm trying to get honor for myself, I'm not honorable. That's what Chazal means. If you run after kavod, it runs away from you. It's not a mida keneged mida. It's not like a punishment. Well, you were running after kavod, so we're going to make it run even faster away from you. It means per se, the pursuit of kavod is false. It's a misunderstanding of what kavod is. That's imagined kavod. That's that makes me think that the louder you turn up the clapping box, you know, those boxes you want on the floor, that makes me greater. That's false. True honor is within oneself. So that you can't run after that. That you just one is, which is really what he's saying here. I'll read a little bit to you from the way the Alter Navarra says, which I think is the idea that he was saying before. The reality is that the shlemus that we hope for in running from kavod, it shouldn't be understood as somebody who's paying a debt, a tax, or he has some yoke. This is a hard thing, I'm going to do it because it yields reward, but it's a hard thing to do. Or it's some exceptional mida, like you have to be at a really high level. If the Torah, well, unfortunately the Torah commanded it, or maybe even fortunately, but if it hadn't, it would be easier if it didn't. But Torah is making life difficult. Adarab, to the contrary, Hatorah Gilsalanu, I'm reading again from the Alter of Navarak, the Torah is revealing to us Hamitzidus Shel Hachayim. There are things we have to make sacrifices, and it's hard, and it's an Nisayon, and you get rewarded for the Nisayon. Here what the Torah is saying is, just gain the proper perspective. This is better in life. It's the better way. Even if he wants, with a lot of effort, to run after kavod, it's a reality. That will cause kavod to run away. You can look, there are people who we see in the world, and they run after honor. And it's bizayon. It's shameful. They don't realize it. Running after kavod, kavod is afraid. When you run after kavod, he's afraid if he runs away. I don't mean that literally in the metaphor. The point is, running after kavod itself is a bizayon. You know, there's an old joke going back, you know, maybe a long time within Klal Yisrael. It's said as a joke, but it's really saying the same thing in truth. If when you run after kavod, it runs away from you, and if when you run away from kavod, it pursues you, so either way, you don't get it. I'm running after it, it's running after me, and I'm running, but either way, right? So one answer they give is when you get older and slow down a bit. on both sides, in other words, which there's truth to, because people who are running after kavod and don't mature, and they're still running after kavod, even... when they should be more serious in life, it's a bigger bizayon. And people who run away from kavod and are consistent and live a life like that, as they get older, there's greater kavod. So kavod catches up. And the other answer is one word, bizyonos, the shame. Maybe it's true. Maybe if I'm running away from kavod, so kavod won't catch me. But at least I'm not running after it. The embarrassment, the bizayon of being running after kavod is itself not honorable. That's the way they would say the joke. But there's a lot of truth to it. So that's what he says here. The efforts to be honored I want to be honored is a bizayon. V'chol ma sheyishtal yoseh yagiya elav habizayon. All the more he tries, it's a greater shame. U'mitzad ha'achreach, ein la'adam derech acheretz kiim levaroch l'gamri min ha'kavod. And therefore, necessarily, there's no other way but to run away from it. V'rak oz tavo elav kedavar m'meil. Then it comes to him naturally. Meaning, because that's what he is. He's an honorable person. K'mo sh'amar ha'kosev, as the Pasuk says, k'vod ha'cham yinchol. That's what he just quoted. Shebolehem begeder nachala m'meila. This is the idea that Rabbi Kestenbaum was borrowing from him. Yinchalu, what Shlomo Melech is saying is, it's like a nachala, it's your lot. Listen to this. Just like we would consider a person a madman if he wanted his father to die in order to inherit him. That's on his mind. And the inheritance will come when it comes. If he seeks to run after greatness, he's going to chase it away. The Torah is giving us a profound insight into life when it says, if you run after covet, it runs away from you. It's a reality. It's not a reward and punishment. And in this version of the Sefer, they have quotes from different Gedolei HaMusar, including the Alter of Nefarik, and this is on another Sefer as well. Altanarak is to say, if a person runs away from kavod in truth, and there's a level of higher sophistication in all this. If a person truly runs away from kavod, it will truly run after him. Mm-hmm. But if a person runs away from kavod as a facade, kavod will run after him as a facade. Mm. No, no, no.
And if he runs away from kavod, and it runs after him, and he doesn't want the kavod,
no, 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 and it's okay that you're asking me this question as your rav. Really, you don't have to be machabin me like that. You don't have to say I'm the greatest. It's okay. You know? I'm just what he means is,
yeah.
What he's saying is that there are most people are sophisticated enough. They're not literally going to run after coat. Excuse me, can you please give me the front seat? That's a, you know, that you expect from a 5-year-old. But he's saying the way it plays out at an adult level is sometimes there are people that, They're going through the motions of running away from kavod, but it's not really. There's another quote from the Bali Musa like that. When a person says, I forget what expression was basically, one of these like, no thanks, I don't need the kavod. What he means is pile it on more, that's not enough, you know? So the Alter Nevarik used to say, if a person only runs away from kavod as a facade or superficially, so the kavod runs after him superficially. But he wouldn't say he's not a great person, but the people who truly, listen to these stories of great chacham, who truly, truly,
right.
Profoundly did not want kavod, and it was all about it. Laman Hashem, they are a truly honorable person whose names are, you know, the great names in Klal Yisrael. So it's an interesting insight in being bridging the Olam HaEmes and the Olam HaKavod. Olam HaEmes was teaching us to be very introspective when we in our midas. So was I really running away from kavod there, or was I just going through the etiquette of no, it's okay, you don't have to give me that honor. So that's an interesting point to bear in mind. Next paragraph. Aside from that, I think this is the most basic point. A person who runs after kavod is shameful in the eyes of people. There are many people who are so steeped in their own kavod. Don't recognize the way their actions look to other people. They're really shaming themselves. Sometimes it really is visible. Who wants to honor somebody who is desperate for honor? You see the Chavetz Chaim, you want to honor him, but you see a person who wants accolades, who wants to honor him? Last paragraph of this. Isa b'medrash. We have in the Medrash, Isa is like the word Yesh, Yud Saf is Yud Shin. Bibnei Ma'azach Yehuda L'malchus. Why did Yehuda merit kingship? Bibnei Shehoda Al-Masa Tamar. Because he admitted in the story with Tamar, right? He was Mode. Bibnei Shechazal Ba'ul L'amdenu. What are Chazal teaching us with this? What they want to teach us is Shekevin Shehuda Lochos Al-Kvod Atzmo. He wasn't worried about his own honor, and he admitted to the truth. Mida kenegen mida zocha lekavod hachi gadol. Mida kenegen mida, he merited the greatest honor. Kavod shel malchus. That's the greatest honor there could be, is kingship. V'roem kan davar nora. We see an awesome thing here. Shemasha b'teva hayinira hagorim lezilzol b'chvod Yehuda. That which would have looked naturally to cause, in the natural order of things, which should have caused the greatest shame for Yehuda. Ze gufa hagorim legadlus b'chvodo. This itself is what caused his greatest honor. The truth is, in the story of David and Bathsheba, the Rishonim point out that when Nasan comes to David and points out, David thought he did the right thing. When Nasan tells him, I was sent from Hashem, he did the wrong thing, he right away says, Chatasi. Shaul was a great person, but when Shaul is told by Shmuel, Hanavi, you did the wrong thing, he justified it. And the Chazal and Sfarim contrast the nature of the two. David's admission, saying, I did badly, was actually his greatness. He maintained the Malchus because of that. Shaul lost it, similar to this. So we have to go on the right path, the way of do the will of Hashem, not to be worried about our honor and not to run after it. We should do what's upon us, and the covet will naturally come. And again, it's real covet. It's being honorable, not showing one's honor to people. Hashem has wealth and honor. Everything comes from Him. He can give greatness and strength. Hashem has many agents, whether for good or for bad. And we don't know that. There are instances where it's actually painful for a person. He suffers indignity, people have the wrong impression of him. So the instances where a person is, it's not that he's yearning for a lot of kavod, but sometimes a person feels like he's unfairly dishonored. And I think he's saying that Hashem has many shluchim, he should do the right thing in all circumstances. And eventually a person who's righteous will merit the true kavod. Okay, we should have a b'chavodik Chodesh Nisan, and b'zocha to the geula and the restoration of the kavod of Klal Yisrael. Rav Hutner would sign all his letters b'tzipia la'ramos Karen Yisrael, the one who yearns for the raising up of the honor of Klal Yisrael. If a great person suffers from the lack of kavod that the Am HaNifchar, the nation that's supposed to be the Am HaShem, both internally and externally, suffers from a low self-esteem, or low esteem, and we should be zocha to that being elevated in this Chodesh HaGeula.
Amen.
Okay, be well. Be well. Thank you. Be well, Marilyn.
What about next week? I won't be here. You won't be here? I
was assuming for sure not.
I can't commit, I'm going to be awake at that point. It's
overnight. That's right. It's Monday after Sunday.
So I can email Rabbi Steinberg and say, I think I goofed and that's the problem.
Is Rudy away?